Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. As summer gets into full swing, one event you will see throughout the city is a 5K run. From everything to color runs, charity races, or even beer runs for Milwaukee, the 3.1-mile race has become one of the most popular type of races nationwide. According to Running USA, 7.6 million people finished a 5K run in 2015, making that the number one race in distances and claiming 45% of total race finishers around the country.
And while its popularity has surged in recent years, the actual Couch to 5K, or C25K, program has in fact been around since 1996. Josh Clark created the nine-week program that transforms your average non-runner into a dedicated athlete.
I spoke with Josh Clark over the phone from New York, and he said that he created the Couch to 5K program because he used to be one of the many people who found the task of running daunting.
For my whole life, I'd been incredibly skeptical of exercise. And in fact, every time I tried to become a runner, I was met with defeat. I think it's a story for probably a lot of people with a fitness program, is that they try to do something and then just run up against some sort of barrier. And with running, it's often that it's boring or that it hurts, you know, that your lungs burn, that your shins burn. And, you know, for whatever reason, in my mid-20s, now 20 years ago, I went through that barrier of the discomfort and the boredom of becoming a runner. And when I got to the other side, I really enjoyed it. I found all these physical, but also emotional, mental benefits of doing it regularly. And I thought there's got to be a better way than trying to crash through this wall of discomfort. And I just put together this nine-week schedule of gradually mixing jogging with walking until you were running a 5K distance. And I actually wrote it with my mother in mind.
With this program building up over the 9 weeks and without much running until like the very end towards your 5K race, what kind of research did you use to create this system alternating between a jog and walk and eventual run?
So I have to say that I'm a little sheepish to say it, but I actually used very little science. This was all my mid-20s intuition and what I had learned recently from becoming, from following this path from couch myself to a really regular and even competitive 5K runner at the time. And so, you know, a lot of this was led by intuition and luck, I have to say. But by the end of it, you know, now there have been millions of people who have run this program and have gotten to the other side of it. So I guess that intuition proved out.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of it was just this really simple observation that it's important, I think, in all things to have early victories, that if you can do these things where everything is attainable, maybe it's a stretch for you to jog for more than a couple of minutes at a time. So let's start there. It's a little bit of a stretch, but by the first week, you've done it. You've gone out and you've been jogging three times that week. Getting these sort of steady but attainable victories, I think, is part of any successful fitness program, and it's really at the core of Couch to 5K.
Well, and now that it's a few years down the line and you base this off of intuition, yet so many people have done it, has there been science to back up what switching between running and walking intervals in training, how it benefits our bodies?
Yeah, I mean, unwittingly, I stumbled into something that I think has been, you know, pretty well known to coaches for some time and has become part of the mainstream, which is that there is this real value to doing work and rest. And you see that not just in an individual exercise session, but over the course of a week, that your body recovers, of course, with a couple of rest days, and you'll actually get more progress if you give it the rest that you need. And, you know, there are many, many studies at this point that bear that out, both in the individual exercise session. You'll see that in gyms, right, with doing repetitions and rest, with weightlifting, for example, and the same applies for running. But, you know, I think there's also an important psychological benefit to this, which is that, you know, just as your body is able to get your mind around, get your legs around, if you will, doing a couple of minutes at a time, your mind finds it accessible too. And so it's something that you can imagine is within reach. And so I think, you know, all these studies around visualization of being able to imagine something that you believe is within your reach. That often helps you attain it. And so it again, all touch comes back to this steady, attainable sets of victories and steady improvement.
Well, and that might be counterintuitive to the very beginner runner who thinks, I need to just keep going until I reach that 3 mile mark. But as you mentioned, this really harkens it back to the basics. But did you also have injury prevention in mind, since this program is geared towards people who perhaps haven't conditioned their body in some time or not at all?
Absolutely. I mean, as I mentioned when I wrote this, I was really thinking of my mother, who was at the time in her 50s, hadn't been exercising regularly. And I was, doing it with a son's care for his mother, of, wanting to make this something that is not only attainable, but enjoyable, and something that would that again gave this thrill of accomplishment every time, and avoided that injury. And you're absolutely right. That is the way that most beginners approach things, is just assuming, this is called running. I have to go out there and I have to run to exhaustion. And in fact, that's, it may be counterintuitive, but it turns out that doing it that way is the route to injury and discomfort and, all the things that people associate with being bad about running for people who've been unsuccessful at it. And it turns out that going a little slower breeds success.
Well, what other things do you think make people turned off to the idea of running?
I think that for a lot of people, it's that it just seems hard, uncomfortable, boring. And when you've got, all of us have busy schedules, and when you've gone out there and you've done this thing that is neither fun nor pleasurable, and in fact is often feels painful if you're doing it too much too soon, I think it's pretty clear that that's not exactly a recipe for success.
Exactly. You created this program in 1996, yet as of last year, 7.6 million people finished a 5K, making this race the number one distance surveyed in American running. Do you get taken aback sometimes by how popular this sport has become, and partially, due to your program, making people beginning runners to do these races?
Isn't it great? It is amazing, and I think that it's something that if you think back to what the sport of recreational running was like, say 40 years ago in the 70s, it was a bunch of, kooks, essentially. You'd see somebody out running by the road, they were nuts. Where are they going?
Yeah.
And certainly, I think that one big part of this is the social aspect of this, of kind of getting out with a throng of people, either complete strangers or with a group of friends, and having this kind of celebration of motion, often to help a cause. All the fun runs and as well as competitive races that are out there are really these accessible and really celebratory social events in many ways. I think that's a big part, too, of why the Couch to 5K schedule really took off. And, it was around, as you said, since 1996. So it's 20 years old this year. But it was really only about 10 or 15 years ago that it really took off. And I really think that that was with the rise of social media, with the rise of Facebook, that here was this very portable program that you could easily share with friends and share your progress. I'm on week three, day two, where are you? That there was this shared sense of support and encouragement, and being able to say, I remember the challenges of that particular week. You can do it. You can get through it. I think really reinforces the importance of social support when you're doing these kinds of fitness programs, not just the race itself.
Well, and that's interesting that you say social media has attributed to the rise of popularity of 5K, because when I started, I thought of running as a solitary sport, because you were training most of the time on your own and, in a sense, competing with yourself or trying to beat your best time or reach your own goal, yet it has turned into a big social event.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the great things about running in general, is it's what you make it. It requires very little equipment or investment. It can be something that is alone, that is completely scheduled according to your needs. But it can also be, as you say, this very social event, social part of people's lives. So you can make it what you need it to be for yourself.
Would you say endurance is something that can be built or simply tolerated? You mentioned when you first started, you were just trying to get past that wall before you really had a training program going. So what do you think that is? You know, are we just building our pain tolerance more, or is it turning into something more than that?
I think that it's a really great distinction that you're making there between building endurance and tolerating discomfort, you know, because I think that is the difference of just perception. I mean, both are true, right? And it's just a matter of how much you dial up the discomfort versus wait for your body to acclimate. And I think very much the spirit of the Couch to 5K is go slow, enjoy this, you know, sort of get out there and challenge yourself, but don't break yourself, so that you do have time to for your body to develop this endurance rather than have to tolerate discomfort. I mean, that's really the key, is that too many beginners go out there and they rush ahead of their body and ahead of its endurance. And as a result, they just wind up having to tolerate pain. So it feels like it's this exercise in torture and boredom when it doesn't have to be. Slow down.
Exactly. And what else would you say to the people who either stop because they're disheartened by a lack of progress or because they believe they don't have a runner's body or won't be fast enough? How do you encourage them to set those notions aside?
Yeah, you know, I would just take a look at who's out there running. I mean, I am passed regularly by people who are heavier than I am, older than I am, people of all ages, all genders, dressed like they're great athletes or dressed like literally, it looks like they just walked out of their office desk job. I think that the idea that there's a particular runner's body just isn't true for recreational runners. Certainly it is for, you know, really elite marathoners at the highest level. But for those of us who just want to get out there and enjoy the benefits of regular fitness, just about everybody can do it. And I say just about everybody because, of course, there are certain medical conditions and perhaps sort of extremes of health where you might want to check in with your doctor first before engaging in any really extreme exercise. But for the most part, you know, a mix of walking and jogging is attainable to anyone. And if you just gradually develop the ability to go farther and faster very slowly, you'll be astonished at what you can do.
Would you say there's a big difference in training semi-couch potatoes versus people who have straight up never run?
I guess we're all a very degree of couch potatoes. I think
that's true.
to some degree or another. And I should say just about myself, you know, I am not, I've never been a particularly talented runner, and I fall off the wagon all the time. I constantly come back to Couch to 5K after, you know, a few weeks or even months of not running. I'm confident that I can always get back going. You know, I like everybody else, it has that, you know, 10 or 15 pounds that I'd like to lose. And I think that part of it is being forgiving to yourself and just knowing that you can always return to this. If you're new to it, it's just one step at a time. I think most people can walk a mile, you know, can probably even walk the 5K. And so it's a matter of figuring out how do I intersperse just a little bit of jogging to challenge myself and gradually get better. But it's all attainable.
And what next steps would you recommend for people who have finished their first 5K after following your program? How do you know when it's time to move up to a longer distance or just to stick to that 5K?
You know, I think that if you've finished a 5K, you probably are ready to move on to a longer distance. But it doesn't mean that you have to. I think there are probably about three types of people when it comes to the 5K, the people who finish the Couch to 5K. One set is just a set that's like, great, I accomplished this. I've run the 5K distance. I proved to myself that I could do it. And then they set it aside and never come back. Totally legitimate. Another group will just keep on going at that distance and just keep this regular level of fitness of, you know, three runs a week of 5K or 3 miles. And that's just, it becomes part of their routine. And others, frankly, kind of get a little bit addicted to the steady improvement and continue on to 10K and half marathon and marathon distances and even beyond. So I think part of it is, what are you looking for? What's the sense of accomplishment that you want? What's the scale of it? And what's the role that you want to have it in your life? But I think that for most people, just a baseline level of fitness of getting out and moving your body 3 times a week for 30 minutes is a pretty good place to be.
I would have to agree with that. And I thank you for creating this program. And really, you've started a movement and it's become so very popular today and it's getting people moving. So I'm sure many people would thank you or maybe not thank you, depending on where they are in their training.
But well, thanks so much. It astonishes me that so many people have used it. It's a really humbling thing that I know has grown well beyond myself or anything that I've done. So congratulations to anyone listening who's completed the Couch to 5K. Go get them.
Well, thank you so much, Josh Clark, for speaking to me for a little bit today.
Thank you.
Josh Clark is creator of the Couch to 5K 9-week program. We spoke with him by phone from New York. You can find out more information about Clark and the running program at WUWM.com.